Edna's Intervention. Written by Rose Jennison. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, My Hero Academia, and The Incredibles. Rating, general audiences. Category, Gen. Also tagged for humor, crossovers, and costumes. Summary. At the end of each school year, UA hires a consultant to evaluate the costumes the first-year students designed for themselves to make sure they are both aesthetically appropriate and safe to use. That consultant is Edna Mode. I.e., the story where Edna Mode comes to UA and gives costume advice to Class 1A, and she isn't afraid to call people out about their questionable choices.
I'm the life of the party, so contagious. All the boys wanna catch me, but I'm just playing. One, two, come and see what I can do. Two, three, everybody's after me. Three, four, let me tell you what's in store. Let's go.
What we have on the docket today are hero costume evaluations, was the first thing Aizawa said in the homeroom. He held up his hand to silence the students, as several had already opened their mouths to ask what those were. We let each student design their own costumes at the start of the year. This is done because the school feels it is important for every student to have a say in their costume's design, as both a form of expression and a way to enhance the use of your quirks. However, not everyone comes up with a design that makes efficient use of their quirk, or is even safe. So near the end of the first year, we have a consultant come in and evaluate each student's costumes. Most of her suggestions will be optional, but any concerning safety will be officially looked into. Sir, if I may ask, why was this not done at the start of the year, before they were made? Ida asked, raising his hand sharply. Aizawa gave him a flat look. Not every problem is immediately obvious just based off of design. We give it a year so you can see potential problems yourself and bring them up with the consultant. Ah, of course, a wise policy, as expected of UA, Ida said, taking his seat once more. Momo raised her hand next. Sensei, may I ask how these evaluations will proceed? Your current costume designs have already been sent to her. We also include reports on any costume malfunctions that were noticed during training exercises. Not a word, Mineta. Mineta's face turned red and he closed his mouth. For some students, the consult will speak to them privately, but otherwise she gives a general talk and allows students to ask questions about her evaluations. Before anyone could ask further questions, voices were heard coming from the hallway. Ms. Mode, this costume has been working perfectly well for me for several years, came Midnight's voice, somewhat indignant. Just because something works does not mean it can't be improved upon, darling, a nasally voice replied. The door opened to reveal Midnight in her hero outfit, looking less than pleased. She escorted a very short woman with round glasses and dark hair into the room. The woman was toting a briefcase that was nearly as big as she was. Really, Midnight, I know you insist on having your boobies on display, but there are ways to show them off without risking exposing yourself on camera. The material you have there is so thin. I know it's for your quirk, but that's really only needed on the limbs and such, and you could do so much to better protect yourself. Have you ever heard of tactical corsets? I've designed several, so I send you over the images and you have a look-see, okay? Very good. The class was almost immediately reminded of Mireya, since that spiel honestly sounded like a more coherent version of his muttering. Mireya himself was staring at the consultant with blatant excitement. "Ms. Mode, we're here," Midnight reminded. The small woman turned to the class. "Ah, yes, of course, the little heroes." She turned to the front desk. "And the hero in the hobo suit. Scoot your sloppily dressed self over, Mr. Eraserhead." Several students in the class snickered while Eraserhead rolled his eyes and grumbled that his name was Aizawa. Yet he moved out from behind the desk all the same. The small woman hopped up onto the chair behind the desk and then onto the desk itself. "Hello, good to meet you all. I am Edna Mode, and I will be conducting your costume evaluations. I hear you are a promising group, so we can't have anything holding you back, yes? I've given all your outfits a once-over already, and wrote some tips for each of you." At this, she placed the briefcase onto the table and opened it up. "You will peruse them while I do some interviews in the conference room down the hall. The students I need are..." She flipped through a few pieces of paper until she came up with a notepad. She studied it for a minute before calling out, "Minata, Aoyama, and Yaoyorozu. You come down to the conference room down the hall when ready, and one at a time, please. Okay, bye-bye." With that, she hopped down from the desk and strutted out the door. As much as someone with such small legs could strut anyway. When she was gone, Midnight sighed, and she and Aizawa started handing out papers to the class. "That's Edna Mode! The Edna Mode!" Mireya gushed to the class. "Do you know how many pro heroes costumes she's designed? Her designs are the leading standard in America and Europe, and she even designed All Might's more recent costumes. I can't believe we really get to meet her and get her advice. I have so many questions." "Now that you mention it, that name does sound familiar," Hagakure mused. "I'm pretty sure the person who made my costume made a note about how the material for my costume was made by her."
"Seriously? That's so cool! I gotta ask her how she crafted a fabric that disappears along with the wearer. You think it's the same for every pro that has invisibility? Or does she have to alter it for every person? Or maybe..."
"Shut up and read, Deku," Bakugo growled at him, already flipping through his own evaluation. Mineta was the first to enter the conference room. Edna Mode was already seated at the table, going over the notepad she'd pulled from her briefcase. She turned her head towards him when he sat down and looked him up and down.
"Which one are you, then?" she asked.
"Mineta Minoru, ma'am."
"Ah, yes. I have only one question to ask you."
She put a drawing of Mineta's costume on the tabletop between them.
"What in the world were you thinking?"
"Huh?" Mineta looked down at the drawing in confusion, then back up to Edna Mode. "What do you mean?"
"What do you mean? What do you mean?"
She grabbed the drawing and waved it in front of his face, leaning as far as she could towards him.
"Have you looked at this design? Have you looked at yourself while wearing it? You look like you are wearing a diaper. I have seen underwear on the outside clothing. Designed some myself, even. But this is too much, boy. Too much. How do you expect any agency to take you seriously in this getup?" "You are already small. You want people to look at you and see a baby? Do you?"
She slapped the drawing down.
Well, I guess I was thinking about how girls like babies because they're cute, and a lot of them cuddle cute things close to their,
What? You design the suit that your life may depend on, and you base it around a want for boobies? No, that is unacceptable. I will submit designs for an alternate costume for you to wear." "But, no buts! You cannot be seen in this! I won't allow it!"
Mineta opened his mouth to try and argue again, but the hard look Edna gave him made him pull up short.
Isn't there anything you liked about it?"
he asked in a small, desperate voice. Edna finally leaned back into her chair, regaining her brisk attitude.
"You did choose a good color scheme, and it works well with your quirk. Your gloves and boots look like they could easily come off, though. No good for an active hero. Your scarf is a bit too long as well. Too easy to get caught on things. I will resize them and give you a utility belt to replace your diaper. It will be thinner, so you can actually get into small spaces and put your size to good use. Much work to do on your costume, yes? Any questions?
Mineta, honestly a little scared of Edna after that outburst, told her everything was fine and quickly excused himself.
Ms. Mode made a note about my shoulder pads in here, Kirishima said to Kaminari. She says if the design is tweaked, then they shouldn't cut into my underarms so much. Glad she pointed that out, because that was kind of annoying, but I figured it wouldn't be manly to complain. The support company was following my design, after all.
I kind of wondered about that when I saw your costume for the first time, Kaminari admitted. She goes on about mine looking so casual, and how I should decide if that's the feel I want to give off. Then she says that if I do decide to keep that style, I should make up a logo or symbol to go on the back of the jacket, something people can connect to me.
She said pretty much the same thing about my costume, Jiro said, just walking up. Well, that and some stuff about adding small speakers to my jacket lining. Gotta admit, a closer plug-in would have been nice during the USJ.
Kaminari nodded vigorously, and Kirishima smiled excitedly.
Dude, we should brainstorm logos for you guys!
Shouldn't be too hard with Kaminari. I mean, he practically has a symbol built in, Jiro said, tugging on the part of Kaminari's hair that had the black bolt pattern. He swatted her hand away, but did so with a grin.
You basically do too. Your hero name is Earphone Jack, so you could have tangled earbud wires. People would know it was you right away.
Hey!
Any further teasing was cut off by Mineta practically running into the room. He went to a seat and sat down without looking at anyone.
Are you okay, Mineta? What did Ms. Mode say?
Midoriya asked. Mineta mumbled something about her giving him some aesthetic advice, then buried his head in a book. Several of his classmates looked at each other in confusion.
I would love to hear what you think of my costume, mademoiselle. It is dazzling, is it not?
Aoyama asked, sitting languidly in his chair.
Dazzling? Yes, that is a good word for it. Not every pro I've met can pull off that style, but for you, it works,
Edna said, tapping her chin with the eraser of her pencil.
Aoyama smiled brightly at her, relishing the praise. You are going for a princely theme, yes?
Well, I was really going for anything that would make me shine on the battlefield, and a sparkling prince seems to fit the bill, does it not?
Indeed, but perhaps you focus on the sparkling part a bit too much.
Whatever do you mean? How can you have too much sparkle?
Aoyama said, sounding aghast. Edna gave him a small, amused smile.
I had a feeling you might say that, but think of it like this. You want to show off how much you can shine, yes? So you picked out things that would make you shine from all angles, but you did not coordinate them with each other. So instead of a twinkling star, you end up as an annoying light in all of the faces.
Oh dear. Is that really how it turned out?
Aoyama said, now beginning to fiddle with his belt self-consciously.
I would not say it is garish, but some of the pieces do not complement each other, Edna assured.
She tapped her finger to a drawing of Aoyama's accessories.
Take your glasses, for instance. Decent eye protection, but one does not picture a prince wearing such a thing. I could keep the piece itself, but design it so that it looks more like a circlet, or perhaps a small crown.
Oh, I see.
Aoyama was right back to smiling.
All the same sparkle of my glasses, but more befitting of a prince. You are truly a wonder, Ms. Mode.
Yes, I know, she said with a dismissive wave. Having them go around the head will also keep them in place. Always eye good quality for battle eyewear. But now we must get into the heart of the matter. This accessory, she said, now tapping on the diagram of his sparkling cape.
Ah, yes, I really think the support department found a good fabric for...
You must get rid of it!
Edna interrupted. Her voice was firm, brooking no argument. But Aoyama argued anyway.
What? You want me to get rid of my beautiful glittering cape? I shan't! Why would I do such a thing?
He demanded.
Have you ever heard of a pro hero called Thunderhead?
Edna asked, voice deceptively mild.
I... can't say I have?
Aoyama replied hesitantly, a bit thrown by the sudden topic change. What about Strato Girl, Metaman, Dynaguy, or Splashdown? She pressed further, putting her elbows on the table and leaning toward Aoyama. He leaned back a bit. I haven't heard of any of them.
Well, you might have if they hadn't worn capes, Edna shouted, suddenly standing up in her chair.
She grabbed something from her briefcase and threw it down in front of Aoyama. The thing turned out to be a sheet of photos, each one showing a pro in uniform.
Thunderhead, killed when his cape snagged on a missile. Strato Girl, killed when her cape sucked her into a jet turbine. Metaman, neck broken when his cape caught while stopping a falling express elevator. Dynaguy, paralyzed after his cape snagged on takeoff. Splashdown, drowned when his cape sucked him into a water vortex.
With each declaration, Edna pointed her finger at a photo of the person she was talking about, and Aoyama's face grew paler with each description.
Each of them cut down in their prime because their hero costume was not optimally designed.
She leveled a hard look at Aoyama and finally jabbed her finger at him.
No capes!
Aoyama was quiet for a long moment, looking back and forth between Edna Mode and the photos of the fallen pro heroes. Finally, he nodded.
I understand.
Very good, Edna said, sitting back down. Good to see you have some sense. Now, I have made several notes on ways you can make yourself shine without endangering yourself. Please read over them carefully back in the classroom, she said, handing him a packet. And don't forget to send Miss Yaoyorozu in on your way out.
She wants me to give up my cape! My beautiful glittering cape! It's not fair!
Aoyama complained to the classroom, dramatically flopping into his seat. Midoriya put his hand to his chin. Now that I think about it, once Edna Mode started designing All Might's heroes' costumes, they never involved capes again. I suppose now we know why.
I know it's a risk. She made that crystal clear, Aoyama said, straightening up. But I wish there was some way to keep it. It catches sunlight so perfect.
Did you ask her about a breakaway cape? Midoriya asked. A what? A breakaway cape. Like a cape that's fastened on in a way that would let it stay on normally, but would come off if it got tugged on too much. That might take care of the safety issue.
That is brilliant, Midoriya! Absolutely stunning! I'll make sure to ask her when she comes back.
Don't forget to read over the packet in the meantime. It'll show you're serious instead of just looking for a loophole. While Midoriya and Aoyama talked, several other students exchanged worried glances and wondered what Yaoyorozu was going to be like when she came back.
You have a good sense of fashion, darling, but it is more fitting of a swimsuit model than a pro hero, Edna said, looking at Yaoyorozu over the top of her notepad.
Yaoyorozu nodded.
I can see why you would say that, ma'am. I'm well aware of the drawbacks of my costume, but I was uncertain of how else to expose enough skin to create large objects.
I see. I know the basics of your quirk, but perhaps you can give me more details, Edna said, pulling out a drawing pad from her suitcase.
As Yaoyorozu explained her quirk, Edna occasionally made notes on the pad.
Very interesting indeed. It is a challenge, but not one we can't overcome, Edna declared once Yaoyorozu had finished. I started sketching something on my way here, based on the basics I knew, and I think I've come up with a solution, or at least the start of one. Come over here, to my side. Come.
Yaoyorozu hesitantly scooted her chair so she could look at the drawing pad Miss Mode was holding. The pad showed two drafts of her costume, one image for the front and the other for the back.
We will make the top like a sports bra, where it covers up most of the cleavage, so you keep everything in place. That will leave your stomach and most of your back uncovered. Plenty of space for most objects you will need, yes?
Most objects, yes. But I've already needed to create something bigger.
Yaoyorozu said, thinking of the insulation sheet she'd made during the USJ incident.
That is where the small but genius part of the top comes in, Edna replied, tapping the back image with the pencil's eraser. The back of the top, with a white stripe going down the center. We will make it a magnetic clasp. If you need more space, simply use your upper back. And clasp comes apart, then comes back together when you are done. No need to keep ripping your costume and having to waste energy on repairs. Much easier, yes?
Yoyorozu looked down at the drawing with wide eyes. That actually sounds like it will work.
Of course it will work! It will only need some tweaks to get it right. But even so, there should be no accidentally flashing the camera. Maybe we cinch up those shoulder straps to help keep in place. Anyway, then we also make your bottom like exercise shorts, so no more thighs chafing together.
That was pretty annoying, Yaoyorozu admitted, but I was worried it would cover up too much.
Edna waved away that concern. We just make them longer to go past the little belts, just enough to be comfortable. A costume shouldn't distract the one wearing it. Then we change the boots to have flatter soles, because no matter what Midnight might have said, heels are not safe during a fight. Can still be tough and dramatic while being safe. Why does no one understand that? The last comment had Miss Mode rolling her eyes and muttering a bit. Also, we change your shelf on the back to a pouch. Less likely to lose book that way. It's much better, wouldn't you say?
It sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yaoyorozu beamed at her. Ah, it's no trouble, dear. I can't stand to see such things go unaddressed into the real world when it could be taken care of so much easier now. That brings to mind another question, though. Your quirk makes it so you can choose which bits of fat in your body get used for your creations, yes?
To a certain degree. Why?
I would suggest actually taking some from your chest, darling. Perhaps go down a size or two in your bra.
Why? Not that I'm not open to the suggestion. But is something wrong? I was always under the impression that, certain assets should be kept, since they are popular.
Her face got redder and redder as she went on, eventually trailing off. Edna hand-waved the obvious embarrassment. Oh, yes, I see where you should think that. Too many do. Nothing wrong with your size, dear, aesthetically speaking. But this is about your health and your very future. Having a very heavy chest can lead to back problems down the road. Not something you would want to deal with as a person, and certainly not as a pro hero.
Oh, I didn't think of that, Yaoyorozu said thoughtfully. Now that you mention it, I recall my mother having her own reduced on doctor's orders when she got older.
Much easier for you, since you can do it yourself, yes? Still, give it some thought, consult your doctor, or nurse, or what have you, to make sure it is safe. Sounds good? Good. Off you go, Miss Model.
When the door opened to reveal Yaoyorozu, the class looked at her anxiously. However, she did not instantly retreat to her desk, nor did she complain about the advice she had received. Instead, she smiled brightly as she walked to her seat and started talking to Todoroki right away as she sat down. Edna Mode returned to the classroom just a few minutes after that. She took questions from the class, including Aoyama's about the breakaway cape. She listened and seemed at least a little open to the idea, but it also got her going about capes again. The entire class was shooting Aoyama looks by the end, either distressed or dirty. When the Q&A was finally done, the class thanked her collectively for coming. Yaoyorozu's voice was one of the loudest as they did so.
It's good to hear that the talks with the first years went well, Nedzu said, tea in hand.
Edna Mode sat across from him, in the otherwise empty teacher's lounge.
Yes, it is always an interesting time when I come here. You are looking very sharp as well, Mr. Principal. You are still using the keratin, yes? I started recommending it to some of my clients. The ones with mutant-type quirks are especially fond of it.
Well, I'm glad to see my advice being appreciated. Can we expect you again this same time next year?
Of course, darling, Edna said with a wide smile. I can always make time for my most unique clients. I may even have to come back sooner. You know how much I enjoy our visits.
As do I, Edna. As do I.
The pair clinked their teacups together, then took a long sip. The end. Author's notes. Not sure what it is, maybe just a combo of their designs and personalities, but I really wanted Nedzu and Edna to be friends. So we're having that be the reason Edna comes to consult for UA each year. There are some relevant links in the author's notes of the text. One is a link to some pictures of Momo's costume redesign, and another is a link to where the author got the idea for Momo choosing to change her bust size. I've looked at the photos and they're really cool, and the stuff about a sort of backstory thought process for why Momo keeps her body the way she does, when theoretically, according to the rules of the universe, she could totally reduce her bust size if she wanted to. That happen in that link are really interesting as well. I highly suggest you go check them out because, yeah, they're super interesting. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!